Greetings, everyone. Welcome to this Tuesday's episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Today is Tuesday, May 27th. My name's Todd. I'm one of the pastors at First Family Church, and maybe today I should say I'm one of the elders at First Family Church, because on this episode of the Extra Point Podcast, I want to bring some insight, some further observation around the topic of elders or eldership. It was one of the aspects of our text last Sunday, in which we really looked at Paul's admonition to the leaders of the church and the members of the church and their relational responsibilities, as we called it. Our two verses in focus were 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. And so as a result of that message and our walk through that text, I received a couple of questions. They were the same general question. They were worded differently. One person asked me, are elders the biblical model? And curious how I would answer that. Another person later just jotted down this question, and they wondered, is eldership the best form of church governance? Now, a couple of things that I want to say before I give you my answer to those, and that is that I do maintain that it's an opinion. This is my opinion, of course, where I land on the pronoun those in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, and 13. I do think Paul is addressing and speaking about elders, though I admit, and I mentioned this in the message, that the word elders or even pastors, shepherd, is not mentioned in those two verses. But I do think the way he describes those leaders, those are descriptors of what elders or pastors do. And so admittedly, I'm going on the assumption, you could say it's a presupposition of mine, that what's in view in that text is an elder, or in the context of those verses, Paul is addressing the new elders in Thessalonica after he had departed. So that's one presupposition or assumption that I am making. The other is this, and I did approach the message and our time together in the Word with this understanding that there is a certain amount of knowledge already in place about elders. And admittedly, that may not be the case for every person at First Family. We have a number of new believers, of folks in various places on the discipleship pathway. And so I realized that not everyone's at the same level of understanding or knowledge regarding eldership, what it means, what the word means, who they are, how they qualify, what the scriptures say about them. And so perhaps this podcast will give a little more background, or even, can I use the word, information or understanding about the whole subject of eldership. Admittedly, it won't give everything at all, but it will give a little more than I gave in the message, because I did preach that message aimed at those two verses, and I did assume and take for granted, so to speak, purposefully, that there'd be a certain level of knowledge, knowing that there wouldn't be, but I did not have the time to really go into all the background information of elders before I preached on those two verses. And so perhaps this episode will actually help us get some background information as we try to answer these two questions, which is really just one question. Is eldership the best form of church governance? Or as one person asked me, are elders the biblical model? So let me just answer it in a word. I'm going to say yes. Now, that's a qualified yes, but I don't want to be hesitant or shrink back from what I believe is a solid answer, and I'll own the answer again as my view. But yes, I do believe elders are the biblical model, and I do believe eldership is the best form of church governance. And in other words, I'm a huge fan and a big believer that eldership is taught in the Bible and that it is the expected form of church governance in Christ's body. Now, knowing that, let me just talk to you about some things that I think lead me to tell you this is a qualified yes. For instance, when someone says, are elders the biblical model? I'm going to say yes to that, but understand that there are various forms of eldership practiced in churches today. For instance, there's a type of eldership where the elders rule, so to speak, they govern, and yet they bring their recommendations and proposals to the congregation. And so the congregation actually has the final say-so in most, if not all, matters. We would say, and I think they would say, they're elder-led, but congregationally ruled. Others would say we're elder-ruled, which means the congregation has very little voting. And can I use the word power here in the right sense of the word? That congregation may have some voting power, but it's very limited. It's not going to be often because the elders do more than lead. They actually rule. Their decisions are what the congregation would affirm when a vote is necessary. So in one sense, they wouldn't actually decide what the elders do. They're going to affirm what the elders are recommending or actually saying they're going to do. So there's some fine lines here. Both cases involve elders. One would say we're elder ruled, congregationally affirmed. Others would say we're elder-led, congregationally ruled. So those are two different ways that we see elders in play. And yet both of those camps would say, yes, elders are the biblical model. Now, while I'm talking about elders, let's be clear that it is a plural word when it comes to church governance. In fact, in the New Testament, the only time we find the word elder in a singular usage, and I'm speaking here grammatically, the only time we find it in a singular usage, I believe this is correct, is when it's describing the character qualifications of an elder. He is to be, and then of course the scriptures list that out. When the idea of eldership is discussed within the context of a church, it is always plural. So I would say, yes, eldership is the biblical model, but the assumption in that is that it is more than one man. There are some systems in which the elder of the church is one pastor. We would call that a singular elder model or a singular pastor model. I don't think that is what I'm referring to when I speak of elders. Even if they call that singular pastor an elder, I'm probably putting a lot of weight upon the fact that in the scriptures, the structure that's described in the New Testament churches is always described, the leadership structure, it's always described with the plural use of elders. Admittedly, an elder is described singularly when his character is in focus and does he qualify to serve in that role. But it's a collection of those qualified men that actually shepherd the church as pastors. They're known as the elders. So when someone says to me, are elders the biblical model, meaning the best biblical model, the wisest biblical model, or is eldership the best form of church governance? I'm landing on this platform. Yes, multiple men, a plurality of men acting as one, that's the best biblical model. I land also in that it's elder rule, congregational affirmation. And so that's where I land. Again, it's a qualified yes, because there are various camps, even within those who say we all agree elders is the best and most biblical model. There's various camps in that. I would remind you of one other camp in that view. There is the camp where there are elders, and then there is a hierarchy, so to speak, or a presbytery. You could use the word bishops or elders who aren't on site, but they rule other elders who are on site. And so there are churches that function this way. Those are men known as elders. I put a lot of stock in the fact that in the 1 Thessalonian passage, those leaders, which I am asserting are the elders in view, they came from among those people. So I'm not a huge fan of a presbytery in the sense that there may be elders who rule other elders who are off-site, like a hierarchical structure. I mean, it's not the hierarchy that bothers me. It's the fact that they're really not from among that group and that congregation. And so, again, we would all say those are elders, but there are various camps within that. So when someone says to me, are elders the best form of church governance? Are they the biblical model? I'm going to say, yes, with this one or two or so qualification that it's elder rule with congregational affirmation, and that elders are more than one man, and that the elders are from that body. Regardless, all of those different views are views that see elders as the most biblical, and I would say they'd agree with me here, the best model for church governance. Now, before I share with you just some other options regarding church governance, be aware that I don't think these other methods are wrong or sinful. I use the word best. That's what the question actually was. I inserted the word wisest. And so we're talking here about, you know, ways that we can do different things that may not be wrong. We're not selecting between what's wrong and what's right. We are selecting perhaps between what is best and what is good, or what is wisest and what may be wiser, or what may be, good, but what may be more helpful. These are all kind of views that there's not sin in these views, but there are various views. And I do believe there are views that are better than other views, even within the camp where we all see elders as the best biblical paradigm. Now, maybe you're wondering, what are the other views, Todd? Are there other views that don't include elders? Well, let me just be very frank with you. There are some churches, probably a number of churches, that function with deacons as elders. They don't call them elders, but the top authority in the church would be a board of deacons. There are churches that have a board of trustees. They're not called elders. Often they function like elders. In these churches, often those boards of trustees or the deacon board, they would answer to the congregation. So most of these churches are going to be either deacon-led, or we'll say trustee-led, and then perhaps congregationally ruled. There may be some exceptions. I take exception to that form of governance strictly because you don't find deacons actually overseeing the church as a whole. You don't find them providing the spiritual direction and being men of the word and prayer and guiding the church and these kinds of issues. What you find deacons doing is working to mobilize the church towards unity and helping serve logistical needs. We see them in Acts chapter 6 expressly for this purpose. We know they're mentioned in other church references like in Philippians. And so they existed, I believe, in the New Testament churches for the express and specific purpose of handling physical, logistical needs so that there'd be less division and more unity. In fact, for the express purpose of making sure that the elders in the first church, of course, that would have been the apostles, many of them, had time for the word and prayer, which I think is not only a mention and a pointer to their preaching ministry, but to their discipling ministry, time for people, with people, to teach the word. And so deacons were a huge help logistically so that the elders or those shepherds could focus on the needs of the church spiritually. So I don't see a place in the New Testament where deacons are actually the, and I kind of use this a little bit of a crass expression, the top of the food chain, so to speak, where all the decisions and the spiritual shepherding rest with deacons. That doesn't seem to be the New Testament pattern. Again, I don't think it's a sin. I don't think we're talking about right or wrong here, but it doesn't seem to be a wise or really biblical way to structure a church if you leave out really the word that's used often for the New Testament churches, which is that of elders. So all in all, that's just some insight into this topic of eldership or into the subject of elders. And I'm giving you a good bit of my own personal stance and view on these things. I'm not trying to denigrate other churches or people who practice other forms of governance, but I am not going to shy away from what I think is a very biblical and right stance on church governance. And that is, I do believe elders or eldership is the biblical model. I believe that the closest biblical model would be elder rule, congregational affirmation. And I believe multiple elders is closer to the biblical model than one elder. And I don't think that deacons only really serve the purpose of eldership in the body of Christ. Again, I'm sharing my personal stances in light of these two questions, but it does go to something, the larger picture, and that's this. Is there a way, Todd, this is maybe what some of you have wondered, I think it's one of the pointers in the text we looked at Sunday. Is there a way that the church can work toward greater harmony, more peace, less division? And I believe the answer to that is biblical eldership. It doesn't leave us without frustrations totally. It doesn't delete the human nature and those moments that the devil wants to use to distract us, detour us, deceive us, all the things he does in his fight against us. It doesn't relieve us of that totally, but I do think it is the safest, wisest, and most biblical structure that a church can then grab onto and see peace and harmony in its environment. And so I have urged our planters, I've urged just fellow pastors in our area, and I've held on to this personally. I believe strongly eldership is the best biblical model for church governance. The eldership that is made up of many men from among the group, eldership that rules and the congregation affirms, and eldership with men qualified by Scripture based on 1 Timothy 3 and Titus. Well, I hope this insight helps and brings you some further understanding about not only where our church lands, but where I land personally, and how we see eldership and why we believe it is the best form of church governance. And I trust that even as we try to navigate this journey ourselves, we'll not have despairing comments upon those who disagree or upon those who practice differently. We can hold to what we feel is the most biblical model and still realize other models aren't sinful, and we can all cooperate and live together, hopefully by God's grace, in the family of God. Because at the end of the day, here's what's never changed in church history, and we use this in our message, and I want to remind you of this again. We are a community of relationships. A lot has changed in the church since it began, and some of that for the greater propagation of the gospel, for the good of the church, amen, from transportation to electricity to inventions. So many different things have occurred and caused the church to really prosper and do well. But here's what's never changed and won't change. It is a community of relationships. We are related. We are brothers and sisters. And I believe within that network of relationships, locally especially, there is a form of governance that works best. And I believe it is the form of biblical eldership.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.